Kunstradio. Radiokunst.
Guten Abend. Die heutige Ausgabe des Kunstradios ist ein Beitrag zur Ausstellung Kunst und Revolution im Museum für angewandte Kunst in Wien. Es handelt sich dabei um ein Hörspiel, das vom Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles produziert wurde. Dieses Museum, das im Dezember 1986 eröffnet worden ist, und zwar unter anderem mit der Bühnenversion des Stückes Sangesi von Velimir Klebnikow in der Inszenierung des inzwischen auch in Wien bekannten Regisseurs Peter Sellers, hat in Julie Lazar eine eigene Kuratorin für Fernseh- und Radiokunst. Die Radiokunstsendungen des MoCA, wie sich das Museum of Contemporary Art kurz nennt, werden im Museum in Los Angeles auf Kassette verkauft und von zahlreichen Stationen im Netz des öffentlichen amerikanischen Rundfunks gesendet. Näheres über das Hörspiel zur Ausstellung Kunst und Revolution, Näheres über dieses Stück, bei dem es sich um eine echte Rarität handelt, seinen Autor und seinen Regisseur in einer Einleitung von Fritz Ostermeier. Es lesen Fritz von Friedl und Reinhard Handel.
Atmen Sie tief durch. Hier kommen die Namen und Titel unseres Mannes, unseres heutigen Hauptdarstellers. Der Einfachheit halber hat er sich alle selbst verliehen.
Sangesi,
Puma,
großer Lehrer,
Zahlengott,
König des Reiches der Zeit,
Marx,
Jüngling des Erdballs,
Präsident des Ich-Staats,
Gullmuller,
Vorsitzender des Erdballs,
Sohn Asiens,
der neue Vishnu,
Marsianer,
Horn unserer Zeit,
Sojabohne der Himmel,
Genie der Gegenwart,
Prophet und großer Dolmetsch,
Euer Stern,
schrägbrauiger Samurai,
Yogi,
Richard Löwenherz,
Seele des Sohnes der Otter,
Kolumbus neuer poetischer Kontinente
und Fortsetzung der Lehre Mohammeds, der verstummt ist und das Wort durch die Zahl ersetzt hat.
Und so weiter.
Und so weiter. Wir stoppen mittendrin, die Liste nimmt kein Ende. Das Wort durch die Zahl ersetzen. Unser Titelheld machte einst den Vorschlag, sämtliche große Reden der Weltgeschichte mit Nummern zu versehen. Das würde die Kommunikation in den Gerichtssälen und Universitäten abkürzen. Der dies vorschlug, heißt Klebnikow. Velimir Klebnikow. Wenn Sie es wollten, sagt Peter Sellers, der neue Regiestar des US-Theaters, wenn Sie es wollten, dann könnten die Sowjets von sich behaupten, alle moderne Kunst erfunden zu haben. Bis heute. Wenn Klebnikow gewollt hätte, sagen wir, dann hätte er Anspruch auf die Erfindung der modernen Lyrik. Auch bis heute. Das Werk des großen Futuristen enthält im Ansatz vieles von dem, was später die Surrealisten, die Autoren der Wiener Gruppe und der konkreten Poesie aufgegriffen und weiterentwickelt haben. Und es enthält in seiner üppig wuchernden Allesüberschreitung den Hang zum Gesamtkunstwerk, zu Entwürfen des Unmöglichen und was darüber hinausgeht. Sangesi zum Beispiel.
Sangesi is a play written in the last year of his life by an odd prophet, poet, and mathematician named Velimir Klebnikov, who was one of the cubofuturists and then constructivist group of poets associated with Vladimir Mayakovsky, Klebnikov's work is perhaps less well known in the West simply because it cannot be translated. There have been some very heroic and thrilling translations by poets in Germany and now for the first time in America. And it's using this new American translation by Paul Schmidt that sort of inspired me and the actor David Warlow to set to work and see if we couldn't try and realize it somehow on stage, which we did at the Brooklyn Academy of Music and for its first performance at the Museum of Contemporary
Art. Peter Sellers, Amerikaner mit dem Hang zum Gesamtkunstwerk. Sellers riskierte und realisierte den unmöglichen Entwurf Die Übergeschichte, die Supersaga Sangesi in Los Angeles, 63 Jahre nach der Uraufführung in Petrograd, dem heutigen Leningrad. Kein geringerer als der große Chefkonstruktivist Wladimir Tatlin setzte sie damals, 1923, in Szene.
Nach Klebnikows eigener Definition ist die Übererzählung ein Gebäude aus Erzählungen, eine Erzählung dagegen ein Gebäude aus Wörtern. Er betrachtet das Wort als plastisches Material. Dieses Verhältnis Klebnikows zur Sprache gab mir die Möglichkeit, parallel zum Wortgebäude eine Materialkonstruktion einzuführen. Dieses Verfahren gestattet, die Arbeit zweier Menschen mit verschiedenen Spezialisierungen zu einem einzigen Ganzen zu verschmelzen, damit das Werk Klebnikows der Masse zugänglich gemacht werden konnte.
Masse ist gut. Die Supersaga war ein super Flop. Lapidar bemerkte dazu der Dichterfreund Wladimir Majakowski:
Klebnikow ist kein Dichter für den Verbrauch. Klebnikow ist ein Dichter für Produzenten.
Ein Writer's Writer also. Eine ideale Kultfigur für nachkommende Kunstexzentriker wie Peter Sellers. Hören Sie heute im Kunstradio Radiokunst der Ost-West transzendierenden Art.
This is the territory of art. I'm Eric Bogosian. In this episode, we present Zangezi, excerpts from the Russian constructivist play, directed by Peter Sellers.
The Territory of Art, das ist eine Serie von Audio-Art-Projekten, die das Museum of Contemporary Art Los Angeles gemeinsam mit der Station KUSC-FM produziert. Die Grenzen sind bewusst weit gesteckt. Die Bandbreite reicht von traditioneller Geschichtenerzählerei bis hin zu radikalen Konzeptionen von Noise Programs und akustischem Terror. Irgendwo mittendrin besetzt Sangesi den Platz der ewigen Avantgarde. Allen Territory of Art Programmen ist eins gemeinsam: die im amerikanischen Radio beliebte Spieldauer von 30 Minuten. Sellers theatralische Sangesi-Inszenierung im Museum of Contemporary Art dauerte über 2 Stunden. Die Sangesi-Radioversion musste auch der Star Sellers auf eine halbe Stunde zusammenquetschen. Er tat's pragmatisch. Sangesi ist, so Klebnikow im Untertitel, eine Übererzählung in 20 Ebenen. Ebenen, nicht Szenen oder Akten. Sellers wählte aus den 20 die 4 einander entgegengesetztesten. Ebene 6, 10, 13 und 18. Eine ruhige, eine grelle, eine abgehoben ätherische und schließlich eine rasant frenetische. Worum geht es in diesen Ebenen?
Taken literally, it doesn't mean anything. You can't decipher it at all. But if you begin to let it wash over you in waves, it really does take you somewhere. And it takes you to a very specific, not to a general place. And that's thrilling.
That's thrilling. Aufregend. Ja. Auch wenn Klebnikow von Erzählung und Übererzählung spricht, das, was man gewöhnlich darunter versteht, das spielt's hier nicht. Auch kein Theaterstück. Am ehesten noch ein dramatisches Gedicht. Sangesi, das sind poetische Tableaux, mathematische Geschichten. Geschichte als Mathematik, transrationale Texte, vorgetragen vom seltsamen Propheten Sangesi, einem futuristischen Zarathustra. Einmal spricht Sangesi in der Sternensprache, dann gleich in der Weltallsprache, in Formeln und Formen. Das sind Sternenlieder, ruft der unverstandene Prophet einmal den staunenden Passanten zu. Sternenlieder, in denen die Algebra der Wörter vermischt ist mit Arschinen und Stunden. Ein erster Entwurf. Die Ernüchterung folgt bei Fuß. Sangesi, bleib auf der Erde, grummelt ein vorbeieilender Bursch. Denker, sag etwas Lustiges. Die Leute wollen was Lustiges. Hier schimmern die ironischen Brechungen Dadas durch. Wenn es in Sangesi ein Zentrum gibt, dann ist es das der Sprache. An ihrer Erweiterung, Vertiefung und Korrektur hat Klebnikow zeitlebens hartnäckig gearbeitet. Seine Stile und Verfahren resultieren sämtlich aus der Reflexion von Sprache, der Reflexion des Lebens der Wörter und ihres Verhältnisses zu den Dingen, die sie bezeichnen, oft auch nicht bezeichnen.
Wörter sind besonders stark, wenn sie zwei Sinne haben, wenn sie lebendige Augen für das Geheimnis sind und wenn durch den Glimmer des gewohnten Sinnes ein zweiter hervorleuchtet.
Inhalte traditioneller Art können wir also nicht anbieten. Lassen Sie sich fallen in einen phonetischen Rausch. In Sprache als Klang und in Lautkombinationen der Zaumsprache. Auch so eine Erfindung des Lyrikingenieurs Klebnikow. Vor allem aber fallen Sie in die Stimme des amerikanischen Schauspielers David Verlow. Es geht nicht darum, jedes Wort zu verstehen. Bedeutungen sind zwar da, sie schreien aber nicht nach Deutung.
The actor who you'll hear in this performance of Zangezi is named David Warlow, and he's maybe the greatest English speaking actor in America. and one reason I thought of David right away for the piece is, well, as you'll hear from the extraordinary quality of his voice, he's able to take a single syllable word and make it have 32 syllables just in the enormous resonances within his voice. Samuel Beckett writes plays for David, and you have that sense of the way David is able to focus absolute concentration on the sound of language itself and give the words themselves that sense that they really are concrete building blocks.
Wenn Klebnikow eines seiner Werke für den Druck anbrachte, sagt er meistens, wenn was nicht passt, ändert es. Wenn er öffentlich las, brach er manchmal mitten im Wort ab und gab den Hinweis, na und so weiter. Freund Majakowski dazu.
In diesem und so weiter steckt der ganze Klebnikow. Er stellte die poetische Aufgabe, gab ihrer Lösung eine Form. Die Nutzung dieser Lösung zu praktischen Zwecken überließ er den anderen.
Hören Sie nun im Kunstradio die praktische Lösung der anderen. Des Regisseurs Peter Sellers, des Schauspielers David Warlow, des Produzenten Alex van Oss. Die poetische Aufgabe stellte Velimir Klebnikow, 1885 bis 1922. Jüngling des Erdballs, König des Reiches der Zeit, Sojabohne der Himmel und so weiter und so weiter. Sangesi. In einer Produktion des Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles.
This is the territory of art. I'm Eric Bogosian. In this episode, we present Zangezi, excerpts from the Russian constructivist play directed by Peter Sellers.
Zangezi by Velimir Klebnikov, first and last produced in Petrograd in 1923, for one night only.
Excerpt. Introduction.
A story is made of words the way a building is made of construction units. A superstory is made up of independent sections, each with its own special god. It is carved from the varicolored blocks of the word, each with its own different structure.
A stack of word planes.
A stack of word planes. The mountains. At the edge of a clearing rises a steep, craggy rock. It resembles an iron needle seen through a magnifying glass. Like a pilgrim's staff left standing against a wall, it stands against perpendicular slopes of layers of rock overgrown by the pine forest.
This platform is Zangezi's favorite place. Here he reads his sermons to the people or to the forest.
The sound of a pine forest in the wind. Night weeps as she passes here.
I have come like a butterfly into the hall of human life and must spatter my dusty coat as signature across its bleak windows, as a prisoner scratches his name on fate's unyielding windowpane. Human life is papered thick with grayness and boredom, the transparent no of its windows. Already I have worn away my bright blue glow, my pointillated patterns, my wings blue windstorm. The bright motes of my first freshness are gone. My wings waver, colorless and stiff. I droop despairing at the windows of the human world. Numbers, eternal numbers, sound in the beyond. I hear their distant conversation. Number calls to number. Number calls me home.
He wants to be a butterfly.
He thinks he's so smart.
That's what he wants to be, a butterfly.
Pretty poor prophet, if you ask me.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
A butterfly? He looks more like an old lady.
Okay. He's kind of clever, but he hasn't got the true poetic fire.
His sermon is all just raw material. A lot of unworked stuff.
A lot of green wood.
Go dry out, thinker.
Plane 10.
Back, Bog! Move, Mog! March, man muscle! I am maker and might! I am mover and may! I am matter and might! I am the mighty mower! Moving, improving, mo-might, Mitch-man, magnetite magus, moving, improving, muscle march! March, Mitch-man, hands, arms, mammering, mowering, force-face, full of muchness, maturing eyes, maturing thoughts, maturing brows! See my face, my might head, my arms, my might hood, my hands, my arms, might maker, main mantle, motor matter, motivated power mower, mogra, my force face mammographied, many mastering, mog mating muscle. You shake your hair like a mountain moga, a manifold maze, a nest of moglings, of muchlets and mainings, of mitlings and masterkins, muchable mitle manes, where one meagle madlet still rise in a mowering mogul of magistry, a mag of might, a breeding herd of mitlings and muchlets. The raven beats her wings, brings water in her beak. I must hurry, so I will not be late. See my face, man muscle, magus of magnitude, master of muchness, Mickle Mitches, major motion picture. I move like firepower, Mogi Man, monster of men's imagination, Mickle Mitches and a little magoom, move, man muscle, mogs over mowering muchness, mammary mog, man's marrow, power mirror, magnify mind, my magni mind, hands magnify, arms mogrify. Macho Mitchman, magic mogasm, move! Magus of magnitudes, master of muchness, moogle eyes, mug mouth, Mitchness of muchnesses! Now, M has invaded the lands and the holdings of Bog, destroying the fear of him, achieving our necessary victory. Now, the infantry army of M has ground down the rock of the impossible impassable, the Stone Age savage, ground into meal, into minute particles, matter for mites. They reduce a tree to moss and meadow grass, an eagle to a moth, an elephant to a mouse and a mosquito. The one whole becomes the many, a mass of minute elements. Now is the coming of M. Mallet that mauls the great, omnivorous moth to mange the fur coats of centuries. Now let us wake the sleeping gods of speech. Shake the bastards by the beard! Wake up, you old ones! I am the Mogagur, the guru who gospels the name of M, might maker of might makers. Our course lies toward M, humanity's North Star, our polar point, the pole that supports the haystacks of our beliefs. Toward M, the bark of the centuries sails. Toward M, the dugout of humanity sails, a proud breath filling the sails of governments and states. We have come from the land of the mind to the mighty domain of Mog. A thousand voices repeated in the clamoring canyons. Can you hear the gods beating their wings, startled up by our shouting?
The gods are flying away. The gods are flying away. The power of our voices has terrified the gods. Is that good?
Is that bad?
They are the bright blue Stilland, the sky full of bright blue eyefall, never, never fleeing things, whispering on irrelevant wings, ledgelings in flight, seeking their selfland, flocking through darkness to vanishment. A swelling of heavenly neverings, a swirling of wing-welling overings. They have flown, fading and groaning, forgetting their getting, their names, unwillingly lulled in their own unwantings. Criers and callers, all whirled into wasteland. Earth's own backward, the everlasting everlost of heaven, into the goneness of here, into the notness of now, hovering haveless through star frost and sea spray, toward elsewhere. Wayfarers on the evening air, thistening like thought secrets, heaven's harriers, these nestlings of nowhere, a lattering flutter of wings, in flight to some elsewhere, of ledgelings in flight, seeking their selfland, hover home, breeder of streaming light, of strange, unattainable flutter and fluxion. Wing wavers white as drifting down, weary wizards of downward drift, wavering dowsers of dawn. River of blue sky stead, weary wings of the dreamstead, broad harmonies of the downstead, barefooted in star clusters, there you died. Heaven hovers in their hair, heaven hovers in their voices, streaking the eastern stream of Everland. They fly away into their Neverland with the nevering eyes of earthlings, like notnesses of earth lore. Fleet flight to the blue of heaven, flight fleet into blue, hovering. Shrouded in all-knowing sorrow, they fly to the source of pre-knowledge. Winglings of nowhere, mouths of now here, winglings of not here, mouths of no there. Heaven hovers in their faces. They are the dwellers in the blue places. High heaven's harriers, a flood a flame. The heavenly fire river over us all. Their untamed eyes, all vanishing vision. Their untamed mouths saying, not here.
Hey, Zangezi, we want something more down to earth.
We've had enough of this sky stuff. Play us a tune we can dance to.
Are you supposed to be a thinker? Think of some entertainment.
Everybody here wants to be entertained. That's the way things are. We just had a good dinner. We want to relax.
Hey, Zangezi!
Hey, Zangezi. You on our side, Zangezi? You got your match, Zangezi?
Here, take these. These are the matches of destiny.
Yes, sir.
No, sir. The gathering storm is never an illusion. Ardent, impassioned relief demanded death from the royal house of Ryurik. Poison flows in the veins of every king, and he dangled in the gallows dance. For relief, death was sweeter than chains. The naked storm rushes above us. The cause of freedom is afoot. Let them lie quiet in their graves. After 2 to the 13th, the year was 1848. Shepherds of hordes, red hordes, the wind of freedom, a day of universal storm. The Poles rose up in revolt, disdaining the catcalls of destiny. Destiny's cheeks puffed out, her twisted mouth in a whistle. The grim east frowned like the point of a gun, uncompromising, harsh as the sound of gunfire, the point of a rifle, frowned at the springtime of Poland's uprising. But after 3 to the 5th, or 243 days have been scattered like coins of gold, a sudden fiery shot, like the idea of death on death row, a pistol bullet in the heart, a bag, the insurgent's fatal full stop. Pacifier of Poland, viceroy of Poland, rude precursor of the clank of chains, see there, that chain link glitters. After 3 to the 5th, the moment of vengeance, a shot, and the sight of gun smoke curling upward. Consider the American president, Garfield elected, the ice of distrust is broken. Then, after 3 to the 5th, savagery stalks and Garfield lies dying, lies dead. Consider the streets of Rome, the pillaging hordes from the east who bound the white city in dark heavy chains, provided a meal for legions of crows. After 2 times 3 to the 11th, a mountain of skulls grew out of a battle, the Battle of Pulyakova. Moscow has written a clean copy of the rough draft of the first Rome's fate, with the ink of its initial victories. The machine gun fire of the eastern invasion grew silent. One unforgettable battle, it cleaned out the cartridge clip of the eastern invasion. The miller of time has erected a skull heap, a dam from the bones of Kulyakova. Across the steppe, the cry of stop! Moscow stands guard. Hordes of nations galloped against the west, wave after wave. Goths and Huns, and then the Tatars. After 2 times 3 to the 11th, Moscow arose in her helmet of snowstorms and cried to the east, not one step more! The land grew sterile. It whitened beneath the Tatar yoke. For a long time, their inundation glittered. Then Yermak, with his daredevil laughter, setting his stern brow at an angle, testing the wind with his broad beard, sailed the beautiful rivers of Siberia to the far-off city of Kuchum. The tenderest thing in the world cannot stop him. The die was cast, and the victor's lot shone in the water's reflection. Stars over Ishka sparkled, and Moscow acquired one half of the world. The snouts of bears sniffed at the oncoming Russians. Bear cubs tumbled at play on the rock piles. The elk and its offspring migrated in hordes, enticing prizes. The pelts of sables attracted the heavy boyars of the capital. Voyevodas set out to discover new lands. They sailed through northern oceans, through seas of ice. When the Tatar troubles were finally over, it was Russia's turn to inherit the east, and then 2 times 3 to the 10th, after the taking of Ishka, after the stern eyes of Yermak, reflected in Siberian rivers, came the day of the Battle of Mukden, when all that daring returned unto dust. That is always the way. After 3 to the nth power comes the moment of shift, of reversal. Yermak becomes Shtyotsol. After 3 to the 10th day isn't as much again. When Kulyakova was for the Tatars, the horror of Mukden became for the Russians. Like a prophet in eyeglasses at his writing desk, Vladimir Solovyov foresaw it all. If Shtyotsol loved piglets, then he was Yermak after 3 to the 10th. And Bulgaria, when she had broken the chains of her overlord and risen up free after so many years by the vote of an international tribunal, that valley of flowers, it was because of the time that had passed, 3 to the 11th power, from the day of the Battle of Tereva, when Kiev was taken by Tatars, camels were stabled in the cathedrals, the Russian capital was taken, but 3 to the 10th power passed on the heights of Angora. Tamerlane met Bajazet, let Bajazet sit in his cage. The Mongols themselves were rebuffed after another power of 3, the dawn of their power shifting toward darkness. Here, there, everywhere, the sword submits to the ancient power of odd and even. A watchtower is built of 2s and 3s, and the abbot of time paces its summit, where tattered military banners peck the air and horses are stubbornly silent. Only the
the echoing hoof resounds. The dead, the living, alike all discarded. These are the iron battens of time, the axes of events, armature for the straw man of the universe. The scarecrow of war is supported by rods, like the iron rods that frame up a straw man. Number is the wire of the universe. Where are these? Barks of truth or empty stories? The waves of the east and the west alternate by a power of three. The Greeks fought the Persians in gold-crested helmets. From cliffs they hurled the invader harshly into the sea. Marathon, and the defeated east ebbed away, burning its ships behind it. They pursued them and cut across the steppe. After four times three to the 11th power, Constantinople waits for the battle axes. A tobacco spark ignites the temple church. Everything falls to the Turks. Your prince on his handsome horse will be swallowed up in the flames. A trader tosses his profits overboard for the Turks' approach, and disaster comes with them. 1917, the Tsar abdicates, the white mare of freedom. A wild gallop, a breakthrough. The two-headed eagle smashed in the square. The mare's dark eyes glitter with the image of a knife. The grip of autocracy can no longer rein her in. She gallops, her hooves swirl up the dust, galloping proud as a prophetess. Behind her, the dead past breaks. It tears apart on the rocks. Where is she galloping? What does she want? You will never catch up. All this dust makes it hard to keep up. Fire and darkness burn in her eyes, and that is because 2 to the 12th power days have passed since the days of the bloody Presnia. Here the number 2 is the god of time, and the Tsars fell, still clutching the bridle, and the far-off halloo of distant pursuit was a magic horn in the distance. The voices of cannon shook old Moscow's south embankment. Minin's monument barred its cast iron curls before the shells of Min descending everywhere. It was a celebration of Min's birthday. The laughter of guns from Sparrow Hill stunned the most beautiful icons, the mothers of God of Moscow, in the depths of their chapels. It is Pushkin who cuts the N from his name like a lock of his curly hair. Canonical Pushkin becomes canonical, blasting, pushing with the power of a misplaced N. Min was victorious. He declaimed an Onegin of steel and lead in the deaf ears of the crowd. He intended to set himself up on the monument, and after 3 to the 5th days, the snow turned bloody. No one recognized him. The crowds began to run, and Min fell dead. Konopianikova killed him after 3 to the 5th, 243 days. Precisely more than pity. Vengeance came. That wonder of remorselessness. Steel pounded hard on humanity's bones. The cannon stopped only on Sunday. Surrender seemed the only salvation. The German sword above our heads was an order to calamity and silence. Then at last, a peace treaty. A monk on our back, and after 3 to the 5th, an SR assassinated Mirbach. If a knife is concealed in a fist and revenge stares hard from the eyes, then it's time, who howls? I want, and yes, sir, obedient fate replies.
Plane 19. Nickery, flickery, little stew ball, coachery, catchery, torchery, mortuary, matchery, catchery, witchery, watchery, evens in heavens as evening descends. Nickery, flickery, little stew ball, the storm is a seance that I can see, signs of a science the eye can see. Hello, freedom, goodbye, force, giddy up, my good horse. I have rivers for hair, see where the Danube streams upon my shoulders, turbulent tantrums rip the Dnieper's blue rapids. This is the Volga, the shining big sea water, and this long hair that I twist in my fingers, this is the Amur, where geishas gaze toward heaven, praying away the storm. I am the master carpenter of time. I have deciphered the timepiece of humanity and set its hands accurately, attached a sheet of numbers, read over again the book of ages, chiseled the lug nut into place. The destiny hand of this steel heaven moves. I have faced it with crystal. It ticks more quietly now, the way it used to. I wear the timepiece of humanity, casually, like a wristwatch. The ratchets and wheels of its works whisper their steel conversation. I am a proud rider, a mender of brains. They move and work the way they did before. Clumps of intelligence, stacks of sense, a wagon train of dead ideas, manure for God's eternal acres, their foreparts gods and beasts behind. Gather them like sheaves and stack them up with laughter. Grant them several gates and make them swift and playful. These are things that furrow thinkers' foreheads, these songs of the holy book. Work is in the factory of thought. Work, produce, deliver. Give them room to run. Swiftness in maneuver and restlessness in fire. Banish from their course all conflict and disaster. And let the stripling's curls fly the father's anger. Marshal them on trains, on swift night-moving steamships. Let them eat the grass of stars and follow humanity's highways in deep galactic spaces. Let the chill rush of every river entice them into open fields, persuade them to their rest. And let the clip-clop of my cadences lie colt-like on the new-mown hay and sleep like clumps of dreams worn out by springtime. planets of Earth. Forward march! Just suppose somebody throws a net of numbers over the globe. Does that mean he raises our minds? No. It means our mind is more alone. Once it meant slugs and snails. Now it means living like eagles! Rainbows growing every day. Hooray! Tomorrow the planet explodes with a network of overhead roads. Hooray! And if somebody calls you a god, you rant and rave and say it's a lie. God only comes up part way. He's only as high as my heel. Hooray! We'll fly our existence away. People are glaciers about to flow. The more we fly, the higher we go. Everyone playing to beat the band, batting the planet from hand to hand. See the patterns of waves of sand and the curly hair of the sea. The beach, the branches, the debris. Pine tree branches move a hand, and a book is written on the sand. The book of the pine, the shore, the sea. Sandy waves, a stand of pines, and someone nearby whistles. I can hear their breath move in and out. The sea by daylight chews on silence like a thrown away bone. Blue storm sea beast, blue hair sea beast, the slap. Slap of its pelt on the shore. A rock for a pillow, a bush for a bed, sea foam for bed sheets, and a swarm of stars for a comforter. For that hermit from himself, that dweller in the sea's fine mansions, the ordinary wind. I discontent you, ocean. You discontent me. You pour out these mile-long stretches of speckled basket foam, pilings and pilings and pilings. On a scaffold of pilings, something menacing crouches, something ripened in secret like armfuls of dusky rye. It's hard to make progress through waves of sand. Who's there? It's the flower seller sea. Come down to the shore, sit next to me. I'm an ordinary earthman, just like you. Call me humanity. I am teaching the sons of neighboring galaxies to salute me by the numbers. 1, 2. Shouting at suns is a rough, uncompromising job. I am a warrior. Time is a rifle, man. These are my leggings. Roman flames, charred and smoking. A smoldering plank from her temples, laced up with equations stretched tight. That's legging number 1. And Constantinople, where a warrior perishes in flames. That's legging number 2. And that works, too. You see, I can stride back and forth across the centuries. My leggings fit tight. Room, friends, to roam. I hear the call of great capital cities. The great gods of sound shake the plates of earth and heap up the dust of humanity, the dust of the family of man, humbled by each foundation stone into huge capital cities, into lakes of standing waves, burial mounds of thronging thousands. We breathe like a wind upon you. We whistle. Our breath moves. We blow blizzards of nations. We cause waves. We bring ripples and waves. A measured groundswell moves across the smooth face of centuries. We bring you war and the downfall of empires. We are the wild sons. We are wild, wild horses. Tame us. We will carry you off to other worlds, faithful to the wild rider of sound. Trumpet the charge, humanity. Round up the herd of wild horses. Saddle and bridle the cavalry of sound.
Thank you. what's this? Zangezi is dead.
Not only that, but he did it himself with a razor.
What terrible news.
What a sad story. All that he left was a little note that said, "Razor, cut my throat. A lotus flower of shining steel, opening its petals, pushing through the water of his life."
And now he's dead.
The motive seems to have been the destruction of all his manuscripts by fiendish villains with big broad chins and lips that went smack, smack, chomp, chomp.
Zangezi lives!
It was all just a stupid joke.
Zangezi, performed by David Warlow and directed by Peter Sellers. Technical advisors, Skip Peasy and Leszek Wojciech. Thanks to the Library of Natural Sounds at Cornell University's Laboratory of Ornithology and the Dia Art Foundation. This program was produced for MOCA by Alex Van Oss. The executive producer for The Territory of Art is Julie Lazar. Senior producer, Steve Rath, Murray Street Enterprise. Production manager, Steve Profit. Mastering engineer and technical consultant, Chris Solem. Series theme music by Bob Telson. Production facilities provided by 52nd Street and KUSC, Los Angeles. Funds for The Territory of Art were provided by the Polaroid Corporation on the occasion of its 50th anniversary, the Rockefeller Foundation, the American Public Radio Program Fund, with the assistance of the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts. The Territory of Art is a production of MOCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, Los Angeles, which is solely responsible for its content. For cassette copies of the program or additional information, write MOCA Radio, 250 South Grand Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90012. For The Territory of Art, I'm Eric Bogosian.
This is the American Public Radio Network.
In einer Produktion des Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles hörten Sie Zangezi von Velimir Klepnikov. Die Rolle des Zangezi sprach David Warlow. Regie führte Peter Sellers. Zangezi war der Beitrag der Sendung Kunstradio zur Ausstellung Kunst und Revolution im Museum für angewandte Kunst in Wien. Im nächsten Kunstradio, heute in einer Woche, bringen wir die Uraufführung eines Hörstückes der ungarischen Künstler András Böritz, László Reves, Gábor Roskó und János Sugar, die zurzeit als die vier Musketiere in der REM-Galerie in Wien ausstellen. Außerdem machen wir einen Besuch bei Ursula Block in Berlin. Im nächsten Kunstradio, heute in einer Woche um 22.15 Uhr.